Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We hear of the gift of love as Paul writes to one of the early churches. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is our final Sunday in our Greater Gifts series that we've been working on this year. And our theme for today is love. Love. Paul tells us at the end of chapter 13 that love is the greatest gift that we have. Now, way back at the beginning of the series, we learned about the first gift we receive from God, and that's the gift of grace. And then we heard that we receive additional gifts, gifts of the Spirit, and each of us have them, and they're a little bit different for each of us. We have been uniquely gifted by God for the ways that God calls each and every one of us. And we heard that we are to activate, to use those gifts. We also heard that when we don't use those gifts, it can end up harming our community of faith because we all need each other and our gifts are all interconnected and interdependent. Today, we're not going to look at the gifts we've already talked about, the gifts of grace, the different spiritual gifts that God gives us, the gift of a community of faith. Rather, we're going to look at the cornerstone, the thing that ties it all together and gives it all meaning. We're going to look at the greatest gift, the gift of love. Now, if you've been to a wedding, chances are pretty good that you've heard today's epistle lesson before. It's commonly read in wedding ceremonies. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 has gotten a reputation for being the love chapter of the Bible. So I hope that you've had some opportunity these past 6 or so weeks to reflect on your gifts and how you're going to put them to God's use. Because our passage this morning tells us that none of our God-given gifts or the things that we can do with them mean anything without the gift of love. And when our gifts are not guided by love. 1 Corinthians 13, the first three verses, puts it this way. Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. In short, Paul's saying that all we do in life and are able to do, it's all meaningless if we don't have love. A recent movie gives us a little bit of a peek into what this might look like in our lives. The movie I'm thinking of is Christopher Robin. It came out in the last year or so. And in the movie Christopher Robin, we don't encounter Christopher Robin, who you may know from The 100 Acre Woods and Winnie the Pooh, as a young boy. This time we encounter him as a full-grown adult man who's moved on from his childhood in ways. Now, he still has some of his friends from The 100 Acre Woods around, but he's got a job working for a luggage company. Christopher Robin puts in long hours, and he works hard, and it becomes pretty clear early on that he's having less and less time for his family. At one point, weekend plans to go to the countryside with his family change due to work. Christopher Robin's wife and his daughter are disappointed. His wife even chides him for choosing work over his family and for missing out on the life that's right there in front of him. Later, Winnie the Pooh asks Christopher Robin an important question. He asks him if his case of important papers, that's Pooh Bear speak for briefcase, is more important than a red balloon. To which Christopher Robin replies, they are. You see, at this point, Christopher Robin has given up all forms of play and make-believe in his life, replacing them with work. A little while later in the movie, Pooh asks Christopher Robin if his case of important papers is more important than his daughter. Christopher Robin pauses and then says, "Of course not." Christopher Robin, in that moment, is reminded of what is really important in life, his family and the quality of time spent with them. Now, Christopher Robin, the movie, has a little bit to say about our church family, and our life together with God. Sometimes we begin to value the wrong sorts of things. As a church, we might begin to value productivity over spirituality, or effectiveness over caring hearts, or people in the pews rather than lives transformed. We've been guilty of prioritizing being members over being disciples. Sometimes we get caught up in power and position instead of being caught up in service. We can begin to think so highly of our gifts that we forget to love. Paul has a reminder for us that no matter how successful we are as a church, if love doesn't flow through everything that we do, it means nothing. Love means that we don't have to come girded for battle when we gather as a faith community. Rather, we can lay down our priorities, our to-do lists, our quick comebacks, and other weapons we might choose to bring. We can set aside our own personal desires and instead give in to the demands of love. Love demands that we allow God to fill our hearts and our minds, our spirits. Love demands that our animating force comes from God, that we allow the Holy Spirit to move us to what needs to be done in God's love. And sometimes that means hard work, like letting go of our intentions, our agendas, and simply loving one another. Sometimes it's hard to love because we've forgotten that God's love never fails. Unlike Christopher Robin, who grows up and forgets a little bit about love, we need to grow up as disciples, which means that we trust God's love, and we trust that it won't lead us awry, but rather that it will lead us deeper in the paths of righteousness, that it will lead us closer to God and God's heart for the world. And here's why we are sure of that. Because God has shown us what it looks like to live a life of love. We know this through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, who came to earth, who knew our ups and our downs, our ins and our outs, our days and our nights, who knew what it was to interact with people that were easy to love and people who were hard to love. Jesus tangibly forgave, healed, and had compassion. And more than that, we know something special about Jesus and his love. We know that Jesus sacrificially gave of his own life to benefit not himself, but others, to benefit us. Jesus chose the better way of love. And it's a path that we're going to need to take as we follow Christ, enduring all that it puts in front of us. Paul was pretty clear about what love is and what love is not. He breaks it down in verses 4-7. He tells us love is patient. Love is kind. Love rejoices in the truth. Love endures. And love is hopeful. Here's what he said love is not. Love is not envious, boastful, arrogant, rude, insistent on its own way, irritable, resentful, or rejoicing in wrongdoing. Paul further says that love never ends. That means that our work of loving is never complete. We never get to say, oh, I've loved like Jesus for 8 hours today, so now I get 20 minutes off. Or 2 days because it was really hard to love for a couple of those hours. We never get to say that. That's not how loving works. Love never ends. For Paul, love is the solution. You see, he's writing about love to the early church. And this comes right after he has explained about spiritual gifts in the church and the community of believers, how they are the body of Christ. Now, why does Paul worry about love at this point? Well, it's because the Corinthians have been having a problem. The problem is they've been trying to say some gifts are better than others, are more important than others, are superior to others. And Paul says, love is the solution to your problem. Because love says we don't need infighting in the church about who is more religiously superior to someone else. We don't need to fight in the church to prop ourselves up over someone else. All we need to do is look to the benefits of love. Love is not envious or arrogant. Love is patient and kind. Love helps us to put away our childish ways and to seek a more excellent way. John Wesley wrote a sermon on this same passage called On Zeal. So you know he was excited about love. He wrote, of all the holy tempers and dispositions, above all others, see that you be most zealous for love. Oh, let this be deep engraven upon your heart. All is nothing without love. Be most zealous of all for love, the queen of graces, the highest perfection in heaven or earth, the very image of the invisible God, as in men below, so in angels above. We've been intentionally working on discovering and activating our gifts, God's grace and the spiritual gifts that have been given to us. We've begun understanding that we are dependent on one another as members of the body of Christ. And now we must answer the question, will love be our guide? Let us pray. God of all love and all grace, you have embodied and displayed love to us. Beyond a fuzzy notion or a warm feeling, your love is sacrificial, tangible, compassionate, and committed to us. As your witnesses, help us to embody love through our words and actions, to the seemingly great and to the seemingly weak. Thank you for giving us deep faith and hopeful joy. Most of all, thank you for loving us forever. We want to love you with our whole heart. Please help us to grow more like you and your Son, Jesus, who always shows us how to speak and act with kindness to others. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.